The account of Dr. John Watson, 25th June, 1891. Holmes was dead. The reality of it crept in slowly as we stood in Highgate Cemetery, beside a grave that contained no corpse. Holmes was lost, fallen into the Rickenback torrent in a final struggle with the deadly Professor Moriarty. Neither body had been recovered from that terrible cataract. The locals of Meryngen were unsurprised. Other men fallen to the cascade had been swept into hidden underwater channels and swallowed forever. The vicar droned on, promising resurrection and eternal life. I was reminded of all too many military padres repeating the same words over all too many comrades lost to battle. Surely Sherlock Holmes had fallen nobly to a struggle just as fierce and no less important than theirs. Mary sensed my bleak mood. Her grip tightened on my arm in sympathetic support. She has as much to be grateful to Sherlock Holmes for as any person present. Holmes had recovered for her an inheritance of Agra treasure and saved her life. If not for Holmes, I would never have met Mary. She would never have become my wife. I controlled my emotions. My grief was too great to unleash, too vast to chronicle. I was far from alone at the memorial ceremony. 300 or 400 mourners crowded the wet turf to offer their respects. Holmes's friends, allies, and clients gathered around the empty grave to pay tribute to that remarkable man. On my other side stood Mrs. Hudson, stiff and pale, unwavering in her devotion to Holmes even after his death. She had already confided that because of the bequest he had left her in his will, she had no need to let his rooms again. They would remain as he had quit them, a memorial to the great detective. Beyond our bombazine swathed housekeeper stood a long line of policemen, some uniformed, others in the strange cheap suits and long coats that pass for plain clothes amongst the detective branch of Scotland Yard. Gruff Tobias Gregson stood soberly shoulder to shoulder with his longtime rival, Lestrade. Behind them gathered Bradstreet, Hopkins, Barton, Forrester, Brown, Forbes, Hill, MacDonald, Patterson, and the rest. A contentious honor guard for a man who had variously helped and confounded them on countless cases. Many of our clients were present. I had exchanged a brief word with Musgrave before the service and traded nods with Baskerville, Trevor, Phelps, Miss Violet Hunter, and a dozen other men and women who owed their safety, reputation, or sanity to my fallen friend. I recognized many academics and professional men in the crowd, scholars who had exchanged correspondence on Holmes's many monographs, specialists to whom he had referred inquiries, allies in his investigations. My friend Lomax of the London Library was amongst those come to pay his respects. Across the turf, on the humbler side of the assembly, a great press of cabbies, runner boys, flower girls, and street toughs kept vigil in uncharacteristic silence, hats held between their fingers. Wiggins, erstwhile leader of that scrub of street Arabs that Holmes had dubbed his Baker Street Irregulars, attended with his new fiancée, failing to hold back tears for the man who had given him his chances in life.